everybody, it's Becky Davidson, and I want to welcome you to another special edition of the Rising Above Ministries podcast, where today we're going to be talking about how we can find the flip side, how we can see the flip side, find the positives in the situations that are hard and challenging. And I wanted to have a conversation with my friend Kendra Benton because she is so good at that. I've known Kendra for several years now, and she's one of those people that even when things are hard and challenging, she is able to find the positive things that she can be grateful for even in those hard and challenging times. So as we've been dealing with social distancing, with isolation and quarantining during all of this that's going on with COVID-19, in the isolation and the fear and the worry and the anxiety that can often come along with that, I wanted to have this conversation with her because she is one of those people who can always look at those things that are hard. We deal with it, we talk about it, but then she's able to flip it around and find the positives. And I thought she would be a great mom to talk to and let her share her heart and some of the things that she does to have a godly perspective when things are hard and challenging. So I know you're going to love hearing her heart, hearing her story, knowing about some of the things that she and her family are doing during this season where they have been self-quarantined for quite a while now, several days and weeks, while she's trying to keep her children free from getting sick. So you will love getting to know her a little better. So here's my friend, Kendra Benton. Hey, Kendra, thank you so much for joining me for the Rising Above Ministries podcast. I am super excited to get to have this conversation with you today.
I'm excited to be here.
So tell us a little bit about your family, your beautiful, beautiful family, all your girls, your house.
I do have a house full of girls, much to my husband's dismay in the future as they become teenagers.
Yeah.
I have been married to my husband, Stephen, for a little over 18 years, and we have three girls. Kate is almost 13, Layla is 10, and Nora is 5. Two out of our three are adopted, and we are a family that loves tacos and laughter.
Tacos and laughter. I think we all need a little bit, a lot of that right now. You know, it's like,
We do.
You need. So you and I've known each other, goodness, how long? About 5 years, maybe?
Oh, I think 6 years. Six years.
And I think one of the things that I love about our friendship is that we do love to laugh. So, like, you and I can get raw and real with each other about the realities of our life, but then we always find a way to find the humor in it. And so that's some of the things I want to talk about.
Awesome.
Today it's about, you know, how learning to see. We're talking in our online small group about learning to see the flip side and learning to see, you know, everything has a flip side, a good and a bad. You know, you can see the good in things and the bad in things. And so learning to flip things and be able to see the positives in those things. So that is one of the things I love about you, because you are a master at that, of taking things that are hard, but learning to see the joy and the humor in those things. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today.
So, awesome. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. So now your family, okay, our family has been self-isolating, quarantining for about a week and a half, 2 weeks in. But you guys have been doing this for how long now? You've been home.
Since the Friday before we've been home with Kate. So about 16 days.
16 days. Yeah.
Yep. We've gone for a car ride in 16 days. That's what we've done.
Yeah, that's about us too. It's like, okay, where can we drive today? You know?
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. But the drive is just nice because you see like other people.
Absolutely. But you know, we're kind of in the same boat in that we have kiddos with seizure disorders. Mm-hmm. And you know, if they get sick, it can get serious pretty quick.
Very quickly.
So we have had to do isolation and step away for a while so that, you know, we can protect our kiddos. So tell me, what are some of the things that you guys have done to survive this?
Well, I can say we face pretty much anything that's difficult with humor. And so, and we try to make an effort in all of our, anything we do on social media, anything that we do at all, to shine a light to the rest of the world, to bring happy and joy and laughter. And so my husband and I have made a few really cheesy, lame videos. And then we decorated an Easter tree in our house.
Because you love Christmas. Okay, that's the one thing I know about you.
God, that's an understatement. Yeah, that's an understatement.
You love Christmas, and you start decorating what, at Halloween for Christmas?
I mean, the day after Halloween.
Yes.
Yeah. And there's 7 trees in my house, and yeah, I do. Tacos and Christmas. That's my love language, Becky. So we just decided, let's do this. Let's make this fun. Make it to where our kids do not look back at this, you know, 4, 6, 8 weeks of isolation as a bad thing, but they look at it and go, you remember that year we put up a tree in March? Or that year that we made a cake every single day of the week, which we have so far have made cake or cookies or pie every day. I keep joking, I'm going to be a 2-ton Tessie when this is all
done. It's like, oh my goodness.
We just focus on trying to pick the fun out of it instead of focusing, because they're still been hard, absolutely. But you just choose to focus on the fun and remember that 24 hours of your day wasn't bad. You know, 30 minutes of it was. Yeah. So focus on the 23.5 hours versus that 30 minutes.
That is a good word. And, you know, I find it so interesting. I'm really learning a lot about people in this season because I'm seeing the ones who are really, really struggling through this.
Absolutely.
And then the ones who are thriving through this. Mm-hmm. And so I think for you, you all, you know, you said you do laughter, you're doing some things, you're creating memories. And I love that about, look at that, you know, the large majority of the day was great. Let's focus on that instead of focusing on those few minutes or those few things that really were not very fun.
Yes.
And so why do you think that is? Why do we think that there are some people, you know, that are, you know, the glass is half empty versus glass full, half full people? What are some other things that you think cause people to get stuck in that negativity?
I think that you can, and I can do the same thing, but I think you can so easily forget how much grace we've been given through Christ, mm-hmm. and how, you know, sometimes when I get to that doom and gloom point, I'll go, I'm not being persecuted here for my faith. We're not spending today hook up to machines in the hospital. We are not spending, I'm at home in the comfort of my home with my kids. So if you can flip your perspective, and realize that, you know, it can get a whole lot worse. So let's just be thankful for where we are today.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest problem is people just forget how good they have it. We all do. We all forget how good we have it. Even if you have it extra hard compared to another friend, I read a devotional one time and it said, if you walked the shoes of someone that you even envy, by the end of the day, you would want your shoes back because you wouldn't want to walk their journey because it's not yours.
Exactly. And it's so easy to look at social media and look at what other people are doing and go, oh, that's, you know, that's not my life. And it's so hard, but you are exactly right. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got their hard, and your heart's going to look different than my hard, and my heart's going to look different than your hard. And, you know, I think we can stop that comparison. That's one of the things in the series that we're looking at is the comparison. We get trapped in comparing, comparing our life to other people's lives, comparing what we have to what other people have. And man, that is a surefire way to start slipping into the pit. But the antidote to that then is having gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And being grateful. And so that's, you know, one of the things, I don't know if you've seen this, but we created at Rising Above, it's a family focused journal where every day you sit down and you write down, what are you thankful for that day? you write down, we have a what's your family verse? John Alex and I have our family verse for this season. And writing down the people you're praying for, the people you're going to check on. And it's been so good for us because it's helping. You know, my son's nonverbal. People would go, well, how did he doesn't know. He totally knows. He knows because it's affecting me and my attitude. And if I am being positive, then that fills my house. You know,
it does.
I know that you feel that same way with in your home as well.
I do. I mean, I even when I am trying to fake it and be smiley and happy, my kids can sense it. They know whether mama's joy is really real or it is produced to try to make it look real. And therefore it is my prayer each day that the joy comes across because it's real. Right. And that I focus on those minutes that are really, really hard. And I don't do very good at that every day. But I ask my children for grace repeatedly.
Exactly. Well, and I think one thing about our friendship is that we can be raw and real with each other about what's going on because there are days that it's hard and nobody else is going to understand the hardness of the special needs life better than another special needs mom.
Absolutely.
And so we are not in any way saying, oh, everything's sunshine and bubbles and all the time because it's not.
No, it's not.
And so we kind of have this relationship where, you know, you may send me a text. I remember getting a text from you one time about Kate's birthday. And it's like, and I forget how old she was turning. She's how old now?
She's about to turn 13. I think it was her 11th birthday. Which you're talking about. Yeah.
And I get a text and it's like, you know, finding a birthday present. How do you find a birthday present for your child when really nothing seems to be what would be, you know, what we would think to buy for a typical 11-year-old? Well, Kate or John Alex would be interested in that. And so we end up buying baby toys. And there's something about walking the aisle looking for baby toys for your pre-teenager, you know.
Uh-huh. It hurts. I remember a friend years ago, I want to say Kate was probably 2, and she shared with me that you're never going to stop grieving. It's going to be a cycle of grief. And you know this friend that told me this.
Who would that be?
Either you or Sonia Craig. but that, you know, you're never going to stop grieving because there's going to be new seasons that bring new grief. It brings new grief. It brings new, you know, I will be honest. She's about to turn 13. Well, I'm going to have a teenager for the first time in the house, but not really have a teenager in the house.
Right.
And that is, it causes me to grieve, but right now we're already preparing ourselves trying to do, how do we flip it and make it a celebration of we've gotten extra years. We were given 8 and she's about to turn 13. Mm-hmm. Let's rock this party and be so thankful that God's given us 5 bonus years.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how we're trying to flip it and be excited about it versus grieving it.
Right. Well, and I think what we do with each other is that we've, you know, I'm not going to come back to you and go, oh, Kendra, everything's going to be great. I need to allow you to feel that because that's a real feeling and that's a real place to be. And so I'm not ever going to come to you and just go, well, just, you know, it's okay. No, feel that. But
move on.
But then in time. Mm-hmm. Within, you know, then we'll get funny with each other and we'll send a funny
salute forth
and encourage each other that way. And so I think that's the thing. I think it's okay to feel those feelings of grief. It's okay to feel those disappointments. It's okay to be sad about those moments. You would not be being true to yourself or your situation if you weren't. But so what are some of the things that you do to move beyond? I loved how you said, you know, you're already now preparing your heart for this party.
I am. Comparison is the thief of joy. And so I try really, really hard not to compare. I mean, I still do it, but I try so hard not to compare my life to somebody else's life. Because if you compare what someone in a similar, one of my best friends, her child will also be turning 13 at the same time. And if I compare that, I miss out on all the things that Jesus has taught me about my life, about the world, about himself through Kate. Mm-hmm. And through all my children, but he teaches me my biggest chunks through Kate.
Yeah.
I missed out on that. And so how can I focus on the hard parts and the grief, if I don't focus, just turn and look, don't focus on the grief and don't focus there. Grieve it, like you said, but focus on, wow, look what God taught me in this. Mm-hmm. Look what God taught me on this. I always say, I would not be who I am today without Kate. Nice. And I wouldn't want to be the woman I was without Kate, because that woman, she knew Jesus, but I know him mm-hmm. in a different way than I ever could have before. And isn't that the point?
Yeah.
Isn't that the point? So, I mean, if you're asking like, how do I logistically, most of the time I reach out to a friend that gets it, says, I get it. And then say, hey, I found this rubber spiked ball for my kiddo and they loved it. Or like, you were at my house and you realized J.A. loved the bouncy chair. So we find things that other moms have found for their kids and realize it is what it is. So what if I'm buying a baby toy for her? It makes her happy.
Absolutely.
So that's the ultimate goal with a gift, is to make the other person happy. So that's just how we flip it.
And I think you make it not about you. You make it about Kate.
Exactly.
You know, I think that's so hard for so many of us, especially early on, is that, you know, in fact, I pulled out photo albums yesterday to show Jay's caregiver, some of his old birthday parties from when he was little. And I mean, we would throw these huge, huge celebrations. He could not have cared less.
Exactly.
I mean, it was for me. It was for me and it was for Jeff. To be able to have these parties. And he would have been happy just hanging out at home with us. But I think, you know, when we start making it about the kids and about what's important to them, even going and buying those baby toys, you know, like John Alex's favorite toy right now is still this little car that makes music. He could sit and play with that all day long and be happy. You know, it may be for a 2-year-old, but it makes my 22-year-old super happy.
You know? Absolutely. And that's what we want, is them to be happy.
Exactly. And that bouncy chair is the bomb, because I'm telling you, especially right now with us being at home, that has been the best find. So that, again, that's where I was so thankful to have found that when we came to your house all those years ago.
Yeah.
It's been a life.
She loves it. That and her swing. Whew, those are her
friends. Same in our house. Same in our house. So, you know, we talked a little bit about social media and about, you know, comparing our lives to others. And, you know, there's those people in our life, though, that are always negative.
Yeah.
Negative people. We all have them. That it doesn't matter. You could say, try to be as positive as can be, and they're always going to tank it. Try to tank
it. Debbie Downers.
Debbie Downers. So we all have them in our life.
We do.
Mm-hmm. How do you handle that? How do you handle that in your life?
Sometimes I don't take the call, just being honest.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't take the call because I'm not called to fix everything for everybody.
Right.
Knowing when is the right time for me, because I think you're the same. Sometimes we absorb other people's hurt.
Yes.
And so we got enough going on that sometimes we can't absorb it. But most of the time I try to just truly approach it with humor. So I will try to, if the person's being really down, I will try to change the subject and tell something really funny and get them distracted off of what their negativity is coming from. But if I can't do that, if I'm following someone on social media and just their posts are just, I don't know, just constantly blah, I just realized that they aren't where I am, and I am not going to be able to do life intimately with that person because I can't lift somebody else up, Becky. I can't, and we're not called to.
Yeah. And that's that sometimes we just kind of have to distance ourselves from that situation, from those people. And you know, that goes back to, we always talk about protecting your nest. And for me, protecting my nest is, you know, just being careful about who I let feed into my life and feed my soul. You know, is it going to be somebody who is going to be negative, or is it going to be someone who's going to speak life into me? And, you know, there's always things to complain about. I mean, like
always,
but I think we've tried to find the humor. I've got a couple other friends that are the same way. We have grown children. We deal with issues that a lot of people do with their infants without going into detail, you know,
And sometimes things in our life get a little messy, but we've found a way to find humor. I have to find humor in that. And nobody can understand a good poop joke like another special needs mom. It's just.
No, you just can't. You just can't. Because it's just in abundance.
Yeah. Well, some days it is. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, but you can either get mad about that when you're having to clean up those messes or having to do things that just get old, or you can, I mean, like I will just sometimes laugh, and I will sometimes tell John Alex, buddy, it is my honor to take care of you.
Yeah.
It is my honor to take care of you. You know, instead of complaining, I've seen some posts, especially during this season, of people just like complaining about having to take care of their children. And I'm like,
oh, and it makes me so mad.
I just can't even.
Yeah. There's been some posts talking about, you know, that the pitifulness of, if you think isolating right now is bad, try doing it your entire life.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to go, whoa. You're missing the blessing of your kid. Like that is like, there's no parent that said, you know what? I really want to change a child's diaper until they are 25 years old or older. Right. No parent does that.
Yeah.
Their whole life. But guess what? That's not the focal point of raising our kids. No. That's a blip on the radar of what we, of the blessings that we get out of our kids.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. The fact that I get to take care of Kate, that she gets to be mine, that God allowed that to happen.
Yeah.
What a gift. Yeah. What a gift. That does not negate the hard days, but man, to focus on every day being hard, that's not a life for anybody. And it's not fair as a parent to that child. You know?
No, totally agree. And, you know, for me, I have to so guard my thought life. And, you know, I've found myself over these last couple of days, weeks, I get up in the morning and I'm mindful of just being positive. I thank Absolutely. You. I'm just thanking for little things that I may not even really think about on a typical day, but thanking him. It just shifts that perspective every time for me when I can start having gratitude and being thankful.
Absolutely. I agree 100%.
So how do you do that with your girls? Your girls who, when you're at home, what are things you speak to them to try to help them? I know when you've been at home for days and days and days, they're kids. They're going to start, you know, getting, snippy with each other. That's just typical kids. But how are you handling things like that? Trying to instill in your daughters how to handle these hard situations.
Well, number one, children learn the most by watching and mirroring.
Yes.
So I do my very best to try to be positive. I am blessed. My middle one has the most tender heart towards her sister. Mm-hmm. Sometimes even her tenderness towards her is a mirror to me to not get frustrated.
Yeah.
Because she's just so gentle with her,
right.
And her heart breaks about things. My 5-year-old, that's a different story.
She's a little bit like my mama, huh? No.
Woo, she's high strung, yes, ma'am, and a lot of sass. She has more sass in her left pinky than I carry in my whole body. She needs a little bit more. Just needing to sometimes be reminded that, you know, Kate is the way Kate is. God made Kate the way God made Kate. And Kate might not have chosen to be the way Kate is if she had her choices. But that's the way that we try to remind our two, when, because most of the time they're not really fazed by this isolation. They're getting to play outside. They're getting to eat fun foods. We're trying to do happy, fun things. I mean, and I do homeschool now so that they're used to being at home. Mm-hmm. They are getting ready to, they want to go to Target really bad.
not happening.
Not going to be a Target run.
Yeah. Yeah.
But truthfully, if we model the joy and the happy, they really take from us.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So it's really about making sure that you are choosing joy and you are choosing to see the positives. And when you do mess up, you look at your kids and you go, guess what? mama messed up big time. I'm sorry that I snarked at you. Yeah. Being home all the time is getting mama a little cabin fever, but that is not acceptable for me to snark at you. So in my parenting of just 13 years, that's what I've learned the most is they watch me like a hawk. Yeah. And they're watching me to see how to behave, which is why our eyes need to be on Christ and our focus needs to be on Jesus so that we are able to mirror that behavior to our children.
Could not agree more. You know, and I've shared this many, many times, but you know, my sister told me years ago that I would set the tone. I'm going to set the tone for how people are going to respond to John Alex. I'm going to set the tone in my house. And when I'm calm and I'm peaceful and I'm joyful, it just overflows. And so I think that's such a great point. We have to, especially during this season, we've got to make sure we're doing some self-care things as best we can, whether that's reading scripture. That's part of self-care, you know, is family care, where we are in the Word. One of the things we're doing is we're making sure that we've got fun, positive music playing in our house, you know, and just having that joy billowing up through our house, just, it sets the tone for
it
our
does.
If I've got the news on all the time, oh goodness, that's just going to, you know, the whole atmosphere of our home is going to change. And so are there things that you are doing? I mean, I know you talk about laughter, but are there certain things you're baking? What are some other things you're doing?
Well, you know, I do a daily devotional every day. And I can remember years ago, I want to say it was the first year we met, and I think I spoke it by the brook, or we talked about starting special needs ministry or something at that event. And there was another person that spoke at one of the breakout sessions that I attended. I can't remember their name. I'd have to pull up a journal because I would have it there. But they talked about that a daily devotional is like brushing your teeth. Get up, brush your teeth, get your word in. It's different than Bible study. And so for me, I do the daily devotional, but I mean, I'm at home. There's been a little bit more time. So I delve into a Bible study. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to lose your joy when your focus is on Christ. And if your focus, if you ask him to reveal things to you, he will. Yeah. And that changes the whole perspective for me when I'm learning something new about the Lord. And it almost gets me excited, I guess is the best word I can use.
Yeah.
Because of like when he's revealing himself to you over and over, it's hard to get down and gloomy about the outside world.
Yeah.
Because it's all in his hands.
Right.
So if my focus can be on what I'm learning about Christ, that is truthfully that's how I'm coping is I'm getting in the Word, we're cooking, we're laughing. We're singing. I mean, we've had Christmas music blaring some days.
Oh my goodness.
We just choose to try to focus on how we can make today a good day. He's given us a day. Yeah. I don't need to worry about tomorrow, Becky, because guess what? That's in God's hands too. And we today's got enough of its own.
Absolutely.
I don't know if that's the exact way you were looking for it, but I've just been excited because I've had more time to be in the Word.
Yeah.
So if he's teaching me something, that's what I'm excited about is learning.
Yeah. That's such a great word. And, you know, I think, everybody deals with things in a different way. You and I deal with things different ways, but the truth is across the board is if we can be in God's word, if we can be reminded of our truth, if we can think on, you know, the verse, think about the things that are good and lovely and of good report and, you know, all those things from that verse. If we're staying focused there, that doesn't mean the hard things go away.
No,
that doesn't mean the seizures stop. That doesn't mean the meltdowns stop.
Nope.
That doesn't mean that, but it means that we're able to, I mean, for me, I'm able to make it through those things so much easier if I've got my focus where it needs to be. Doesn't take those other things away. It just helps me survive it. So.
No, and I don't want to paint a picture that I don't ever have those moments. Because if my mom was listening, she'd be like, "Girl, I heard you this morning whining about something." but you know, I also think, and I think you and I've talked about this before in the past. Choose your audience. Choose your audience when you are grieving or you are hurting.
That's a good
that's
one.
not that's not a time that we go on social media and lament about how hard our life is. Mm. That is a time that you go to that dear trusted friend that can handle it, that can soak it in and pour back into you. And you don't need the whole world to know what's going on because they can't fix it. Mm. And their little comments on your wall of praying for you, love you, oh, you're right, it's so hard, that doesn't even help you.
Yeah.
What helps you is divulge it to the Lord, number one, then go to a trusted friend, let them hear you out, let them encourage you, and then move on. You cannot, you know what I mean?
Oh, that is such a good word, because that is so true. It's like, choose your audience. Like, you don't have to put everything out there on social media about everything that's going on in your world and how hard it is, but you can have that trusted friend. I think you and I have that friendship where you can call me and go, you know, share where you're feeling and what's going on. And I've always loved, you know, I have some people who are further down the path than I am that I can go to and go, okay, I'm dealing with this now. Help me through that. And I think I'm that for you in a lot of
absolutely. Absolutely.
It's because I'm further down the path, but you are for me as well in other things, you know. And I think having those people, you don't have to put everything out there. That is such a good word. Choose your audience.
Yeah. I think that, you know, you and I've talked a lot about, we are called to be a light and we are called to be the salt of the earth. And, you know, for me, the thing that has the most flavor is Mexican food, and it's really salty. And so I want to be like Mexican food. I want, when you are being around me, that you feel uplifted and you feel laughter, because that's the 90% of who I am.
Right.
That other 10% that's hard, it is hard. And no one enjoys a hospital stay. No one enjoys that. But I don't even want to talk about the hard in my life all of the time. Do you?
Right.
Do you want to talk about the hard in your life? No, because that's not what predominantly defines our families and our children.
Yeah. If it does, you are going to have a
gonna drown.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to drown, because I'm sorry. There is nothing cuter than my 12-year-old crawling to the kitchen and sitting by the coffee pot in the morning, every morning, knowing she's getting a cup of coffee. That's dadgum cute, Becky.
That's so funny.
And if I focus on, oh, she has seizures and she can't walk and she can't crawl, she's having to crawl to the kitchen, I missed out on the dadgum cuteness of a 12-year-old knowing she's getting a cup of coffee in the morning.
That's so cute. Yeah.
So that's what I want them to see about who Kate is she may be different and unique, but man, she's really cool. And I know, I mean, J.A. kissing your face yesterday on that video you posted on Rising Above Ministries. That was just him being a stinker, and he was so stinking cute, and I would have a hard time focusing on doing that video without his lips.
It was so funny, because that's just him, and I loved it because he was showing who he was. And this morning he gets up and he's eating his breakfast and he is just cackling, laughing. And I'm like, buddy, you are just so funny. And you know, yeah, we were up at 4:30 this morning. He decided that's when we're going to start our day. So am I going to focus on that we've been up for hours, or am I going to focus on, gosh, he's got the biggest smile and just is so sweet and kind. Where am I going to put my focus?
Focusing on the good. You have to focus on the good. And if you can't find any good in your day, then I think you need to go talk to Jesus and ask him to point it out to you.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of the things that we're doing with the family focus thing that we're doing through the Rising Above. I've added in on mine, what was our favorite part of the day? What was
that's a good one.
You know, to add at the end of the day, let's look back. What was our favorite part of this day? And I'm so looking forward to having these to look back on and to remember, okay, do you remember that time that we were stuck at home for months, you know, however long, hopefully.
Yeah.
But, you know, when we were stuck at home, but do you remember we made this funny little video and how, you know, just the different things that we did? That's what I want to remember. And remember all the ways that God just revealed himself to us through this season.
Absolutely. That's our goal in our household, is that honestly, we just don't want to, this is such a rare event in our world history,
right,
that it's not likely to happen again in your or my lifetime. please, Lord Jesus, touch all the holy points. It's not likely to happen again. And so we have the blessing of being able to isolate, you and I do.
Yeah.
And so we're focusing on, yay, God, that I get the opportunity that I can keep my kids safe and that we can make some fun memories. Like you said, like, let's just focus on all the cool things we did in this 8 weeks where you didn't have, well, truthfully, you don't have the distraction of taking them to some movie or to this or that. You have to be more creative with what you're doing with your kids, which is making us focus on our kids more than perhaps we do when life is normal and hectic and busy and go, go, go.
Totally. It's so true. So true. So Kandra, we end our podcast with the one thing. So if you were talking to another mom who's struggling right now, going, how are we going to survive this? What is the one thing you would say? What's your survival skill to tell this other mama who may be home with her kids and doesn't know how long she's going to be home? What would you tell her?
Laugh. Find something to laugh at. Watch something that makes you belly laugh. Laughter that is at your core, that gets you to where you're almost crying, it's the best medicine ever for me. I can tell of times where I've been in the hospital with Kate and it's awful there. It's absolutely hell on earth to put it in literal terms.
Yeah.
And one of my girlfriends will send something that's a tad inappropriate and funny and I belly laugh. And for that few minutes, you forget anything else that's going on in the world other than laughing and how funny it is. And that is the best way to survive. I mean, I can even think of a time when you were in the hospital and you sent me a video of the thing beeping and you and I just giggled over the fact that the monitor's beeping is almost like you can almost do a rhythm to the hospital beeping systems. I mean,
I forgot about just, that.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I'd forgotten about it, but yeah.
Find a way to laugh. If you can laugh when you're sitting beside an IV pole beeping and waking you up all night, then you're going to be okay. Laughter makes you remember that it's going to be okay. Yeah. We're going to laugh again. We're going to have fun again. This is all going to end at some point. So laugh and let's move on.
That is so true. I had totally forgotten about that. But yeah, I mean, you and I had both spent so much time in the hospital. And I guess that was probably a Jeff hospital stay.
It was.
The monster was just going off and off. And I was like, seriously?
This is ridiculous.
But we were able to laugh about it. But I knew, again, you were my audience. Because you would
absolutely,
you would understand that that would resonate with you. It wasn't me complaining. It was just like, oh my word, this is us. Is this ever going to?
Because it was more than one. It was like beep 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 beep. Beep.
crazy. So I would say, you know, I think that one of the things too is, I think God places people on our hearts on certain days that we need to check on. And so if somebody comes to mind, especially in this season, well, anytime, shoot them. Like, we've been finding, like, if I scroll through Facebook and I see a funny COVID-19 meme, you know, that's something funny about, like, you know, cutting your hair in a crazy way because you don't look at your hair.
Like, I cut 5 inches off my own hair accidentally this last week.
Hey. Uh-huh. Well, there you go. You know, you got to do what you got to do. Survival. We're in survival times now.
We are. We absolutely
are. I'll screenshot that, shoot it to my sister, shoot it to some of my friends just to go, you know, just to have some levity in all of this. Yes, we are in serious times. We are not trying to say that we are not. We are in things. We are in a lot of unknowns, but we can still have joy.
Absolutely.
And I thank you for taking this time. I know your family is all upstairs at your house as we're having this conversation. Your husband's probably ready for you to come rescue him for a little bit. And but so I appreciate you taking this time and sharing the flip side, how your family is choosing to see the flip side through these challenging times that we're in.
Thank you so much for having me. It's fun.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Rising Above Ministries podcast. We would like to thank Jimmy Thorpe and Patrick Mayberry for providing the music for our podcast today. If you like what you hear, please take a minute to leave us a rating and review. This helps others like you find our content more easily. You can learn more about how Rising Above Ministries is encouraging the special needs community by checking out our website at risingaboveministries.org or by finding us on Facebook and Instagram. We look forward to connecting with you.